When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Okay, the week trending, new time for it. And today we're joined for the first time by Mairead Cleary, who of course is a news reporter here with Bauer Media, including Today FM, and Michael Clifford, special correspondent with the Irish Examiner. And I know there are some of you who are going to be giving out about talking about a member of the British royal family during the week trending, but it's a major international story which is dominating the news agenda. So let's talk about Prince Harry's book, even in advance of we getting a chance to read it next week. Very clearly, what are the main things we know from it that might be of interest?
Well, a lot has come out so far. I mean, where to begin? Firstly, he actually revealed how many people he killed in his missions in Afghanistan.
Admit or actually almost boast about?
It was weird. He said he doesn't regret it, but he's not happy about it either. It was a really unusual admission. But there's some other juicier bits as well for any gossip hounds. You know, he talked about the time he lost his virginity to an older woman. He said,
how much older do we know?
We don't know. All we know is that the woman likes horses, and then the rumour mill went into overdrive and Liz Hurley came out and said, no, it's not me, because so many people were asking, Liz, are you the person who slept with Prince Harry as a teenager?
And she actually answered the question.
She did, to the Times UK.
All right, well, thank God she did that, because I'd hate if you were just springing an internet rumour like that.
I promise. She said this morning, it's not me. Other things, you know, his drug consumption, he talked about doing cocaine, smoking weed, and even taking psychedelics. He even shared some bizarre stories he had while he was on those drugs.
Wearing a Nazi uniform at a party, though, that was an idea of his brother and his wife.
Apparently so. He's blaming it on them too, either.
What else is there, Michael, in this?
Yeah, there's stuff there about the he suggested his father, now King Charles, that after he was born, Charles apparently said to his wife, Princess Diana, wonderful, now you've given me an heir and a spare. Of course, the spare being the name of the book, that's also being the term that's used for the second in line for the throne above, following a sibling or whatever. I mean, just...
Of course, here series. In Ireland, we might use the term spare as something for something else. Let's not go there.
Kind of an appendage, I know what you mean, yeah. But the one serious thing, that business that Maria said about the number of people he killed in Afghanistan, I mean, I just think that's an appalling thing. How this guy was advised in any capacity to put something like that in a book.
He almost treats it like it was a video game.
Yeah, I mean, and I think he gives the number and all, and the whole thing, I mean, that's just really, in terms of taste, in terms of anything, notwithstanding whom they were fighting, whatever, like, but it's just, I think that's appalling. Apart from that, the thing is the most ridiculous thing you can imagine. I mean, who is it? Like, the guy, okay, he needs to earn a crust. He's no longer in the
20 million quid, apparently, for this.
Yeah, well, start a car wash or do something. Do you know what I mean? Just go out and earn a few bob. But this sort of thing is... And then the best thing of all...
Are you a British royalist now, Mick? Are you? Is that what it is that you're offended by the damage that he's doing to the institution of the royal family?
Glued to it, Matt. But this line is the best one of all. I want my father and my brother back. Jeez, you're going around a quail wave. That's what you're looking for, like, you know. And I have to say, I had sympathy for the guy when the likes of Piers Morgan and all these people, when he did the interview. I thought, look, give the fella a break. I mean,
yeah.
And do you not think that there is a certain class and racist element of attacking Meghan Markle?
There may well be. The only point I'm making is the detail of what he's talking about, his own private life, how it impacts on his family. This business about fighting with William. This guy, on one hand, he's talking about being out in Afghanistan and he's at the end of a gun. Next thing, William knocks him over and he bangs his head off the dog bowl Oh my God, it's really, really shocking. I mean, it's just ludicrous.
Hang on, you're not downplaying the fact of adult men actually hitting each other as a way to deal with their problems. I mean, does that not
Matt,
create issues in
relation
come
off the stage,
to man who'll be the next king
of
England?
When you come off the stage, I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about a fellow who's in the army 1 minute and the next minute his brother pushes him over and it's, oh my God, I have been assaulted.
Do you have any sympathy for him, right? Given that he did lose his mother, at what age was he, 14, and she lost her in tragic circumstances?
Sympathy, I think, is going a little bit far. Originally, when, you know, those articles were coming out, and they were, in fairness, attacking Meghan Markle, I would agree that there was definitely a race element there. There's definitely a class element. But after the Oprah interview, he still had me with him. But now I think he's losing the dressing room. It's a 400-page book. And to be honest, he's giving us stories no one asked for. Like, he's giving above and beyond what any of us wanted to know, I think.
Listen, the spare thing is so cringy, says one listener. More tough for his kids when they grow up.
Yeah. Well, they'll get over with the 20 million, I presume.
Well, they'll need the protection probably. Maybe he's made a target for himself after those comments.
It's kind of sad too, though, just in terms of the family. I mean, there's himself, his brother and his own man. And I mean, you know, to have fallen out with them irrespective. And like, I watched The Crown and a soap opera.
Yeah,
was great.
So
the first four or five seasons of it. You know, and it was great. But when you see this happening in real time, you're thinking, this is going to be... And the other thing is, how do the British people maintain their relationship with the royal family the way they have over centuries? You'd have to wonder, because it's gone from soap opera now into The Simpsons.
Yeah, but there was deep upset when Queen Elizabeth died.
Oh yeah, understandably. But I'm just saying, this is further...
But was it as understandably as how upset many of them got?
It's their thing, by all accounts. Look, Matt, we've things ourselves, Gaelic football, this and that, whatever. It's their thing. And therefore they got upset by it, you know...
It's the popularity, I think, though, of William and Kate that, OK, people might not like Charles. I think people definitely have their issues with Harry. But I believe the British public in general really like William and Kate, and they will hold on for William and Kate to get to the throne. So, like, I always find it so surprising how supportive they are of the monarchy when really they're paying for a soap opera at this point.
Okay, let's move on. We will be back to that book. We actually will be reading it on Monday night, God help us, and we'll be covering it on Tuesday's programme. But let's talk about the way our TDs get treated. Just for those who are not aware of this story, remind us of what happened to Ciarán Cannon and Anne Rabbitt at a planning meeting, effectively, in Galway.
Yeah, so Ciarán Cannon and Junior Minister Anne Rabbitt were attending a public meeting in Gort. While they were at it, you know, the mic was being passed around in these situations as that happens. I believe it was the third speaker got up to make his point and started lambasting the government and wasn't happy about this decision.
Although it was an independent planning decision rather than a government decision.
Exactly. So Ciarán Cannon actually fought back and said, no, this is on Bord Pleanála's decision. It's not the government's. There was an exchange anyway. Long story short, the man actually pulled out a Ziploc bag of dry cow manure and threw it at Ciarán.
Missed.
But he did hit Anne Rabbitt in the torso, she says. And
with
he left the room.
Bag, wasn't it?
A second one, exactly. Yeah. So then he left the room. The funny thing is to me, though, is that the meeting actually continued and the man entered the room again unnoticed. So I was speaking to the organisers and I asked, like, how did this actually fly? And Ciarán O'Donnell said to me that, well, really, it was a public meeting. The motto of the group is respect all opinions, and they didn't notice the man return. And Rabbitt then told Galway Bay FM that, you know, she was actually afraid when she was in the room because the man was only 2 metres behind him. Now, the Gardaí have launched an investigation into it, but it was a pretty shocking thing to happen.
What do you make of this, McClifford? Because I know there are some people who were texting it yesterday saying, oh, politicians should get over themselves. Should they really?
No.
I mean, do we not supposed to have some sort of standards where people who stand for public office, who get properly elected, are deserving of a degree of respect so that they will not be physically assaulted?
Absolutely. And I mean, this is a thing that has developed over the last 10 years, I'd suggest. In the wake initially of the economic collapse, when there was huge anger at what had happened in the country. Now, that's still no excuse, but on one level, you can understand how things perhaps in instances got somewhat out of hand. You add to that the whole scene on social media and the way that things are pumped up there. You have echo chambers, you've retailing anger effectively, and you arrive at this. Remember, this guy had two bags of this stuff. he obviously came here with a plan and he was going to do this. And then you have more serious stuff even in the similar vein though. Martin Kenny, who's from over the West as well, his car getting burnt out, I think he said there before Christmas, his four kids are going to have to move. You have the
Martin Kenny, the Sinn Féin TD, has been treated abysmally mm-hmm. by the people who have targeted his house.
Absolutely. Completely, and it's happened on more
utterly,
than one
utterly wrong
on more than one occasion. Completely, you have Leo Varadkar's home was picketed by a similar type of people, I think, as the ones that target Martin Kenny. Not obviously in the same vein the way they targeted Mr. Kenny, and I think Simon Harris or Stephen Donnelly or some of them.
Stephen Donnelly had to put up a big wall.
Yeah,
around the house.
That's right. This is really getting out of hand. And, you know, we've seen what's happened in other countries. We saw it in the US. We saw people getting...
We saw Joe Cox murdered before the Brexit referendum
exactly.
in the UK.
And you know, it's something that needs to be reined in. And I was a small bit put off. There was one or two people in public life that kind of attitude you were talking about there in terms of Asher, what's the big deal? I was just thought that you don't need to hear that. That's not good.
Michael Clifford, Mairead Cleary, stay with us and we'll have more in the week trending. We'll focus on Andrew Tate and Dana White and other things in the week trending after this.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
Okay, so it's Michael Clifford and Mairead Cleary who are with us this week to discuss the week trending. And there was one story that started last week, Mairead, the row between Andrew Tate, the mixed martial artist and social media guru, I suppose you could call him, and Greta Thunberg. And he got completely burned by Greta Thunberg, who dealt with him brilliantly. But tell us about what has emerged about this pretty obnoxious individual since.
Yeah, so Andrew Tate is being held by Romanian authorities. He's been held for up to 30 days in connection with human trafficking offences. So it's him, his brother and two other individuals. It's pretty dark stuff. And to be honest, he is misogynistic. There is hours of video footage and different quotes.
Even if he's not guilty of human trafficking and the investigations underway, it's quite clear from his actions and behaviour that he's an appalling misogynist, isn't
Absolutely. I mean, for people who aren't familiar with him, you know, he was originally a mixed martial artist or a kickboxer rather, and he got a start on Big Brother, and then eventually he built this massive following promoting all sorts of strange ideas. You know, he was saying that women are the property of their husbands, that they belong in the kitchen and different things like that. But I mean, he was really popular. He was on Instagram. He had 4.6 million followers. Twitter, he had 1.5 million. Now, he's been banned from Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. But Elon Musk ran Twitter, have invited him back.
Really?
Yeah, he's on Twitter again with 1.5 million.
What do you make of this guy, Michael Clifford? And also the fact that he has so many people who celebrate him and who follow him, and he gets so many likes and clicks and the rest of it.
I have to confess to my journalistic deficit here, Matt, prior to Greta Thunberg's absolutely unrivaled tweet, which I think was tweeted a year last year, if you ask me, I hadn't heard of this guy. But so I was out of the loop. But what I know him. But he's of a type, though, isn't he? Like, you know, I mean, he is of that type.
And unfortunately, he's of a type that gets an awful lot of attention and gets a lot of support.
And unfortunately, it would seem, gets a lot of support in very young males in particular right around the world for one reason. Not because he's misogynistic, but they're drawn into his persona. He's the kickboxing, the whole thing, you know, he's...
There were also a lot of middle-aged people who should have known better who took his side against Greta Thunberg simply because they're climate change deniers.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, you've that all over the place, definitely. Like, you know, but the thing about guys like this, if you ask me, they'll get their comeuppance at some stage, and it seems.
Well, maybe he's getting it now.
That's exactly the thing, you know.
What about Dana White? You must know who Dana White
is. I do.
You're not that out of touch. That special correspondent of the Irish Examiner.
I know Dana White. No, I mean, this again, but there's a similar theme here. He was caught on camera assaulting his wife. Now, she struck him as well. But, I mean, because he's the president of the UFC and the whole thing, you're back into this whole macho culture. That whole thing, and he's apologising profusely, simply if you ask me, because he realised he's in an era that if he doesn't, there'd be major repercussions. But I mean, again, I'm not making comparisons with him and Tate, but you know, there's a particular type that's out there, and they're outsized as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but it seems, Mairead, he's not getting half the criticism that, for example, Will Smith got for delivering a slap against Chris Rock at the Oscars last year.
Yeah, it's a funny one. I have to agree with you on that. I don't really know why, you know, his apology he gave to the showbiz site TMZ was that there was a lot of alcohol involved. You know, there's no excuse, but I've known my wife since we were 12. We're married nearly 30 years.
A listener says she struck him first. Don't forget yes. that. But does that really matter? If just because one person strikes you, does that entitle you to strike back?
Exactly. It's funny that there's so little heat being given to him. And I don't understand why that is, to be honest.
I'd suggest it's simply because he's not centre stage in terms of the whole celebrity culture. I would think beyond that. I mean, I don't see too many redeeming features in the guy, to be honest with you, you know?
Let's move on. Do you remember, Mick, when the Green Party talked about reintroducing wolves to Ireland? I wonder how the EU Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, would think of that idea.
Yeah, Ursula von der Leyen, apparently in her near her home in Germany, her pony, she's apparently been into horses since she was a kid, her pony was attacked by a wolf.
And killed.
And thereafter, the wolf's number was up. Effectively, there was there's a protective notice on wolves, but there was a dispensation in some instances, and there was in relation to this particular wolf. Now, Ursula von der Leyen said it had nothing to do with her, but one way or the other, the wolf came into the target, and he was done, and that was confirmed in December. She's saying it had absolutely nothing to do with her. Her spokesperson said the attack on Ms. von der Leyen's pony was not the reason that the wolf was killed. But obviously, one could imagine she hardly shed any tears for the old wolf.
Okay, let's move on to other things. Mairead, interested to see Canada banning foreign investors buying property, which is very interesting given the controversies we have in this country about international investors buying up apartment blocks.
Yeah, it's an interesting move. So as of the 1st of January, a new law was introduced in Canada whereby foreigners cannot buy property there as investments. You know, it's a funny one. Apparently, it's been a long talked about issue in Canada, but only 4.8% of properties in Vancouver are owned by non-Canadians, and it's even less so in Toronto. So it's an issue they talk about a lot, by all accounts, in Canada. Whether or not it's actually that big of a problem, I don't know. New Zealand have done similar in the past as well. There's arguments for and against it, and there is there are exceptions made for people who are worked in Canada long enough and stuff like that. Is it something that is needed in Ireland, perhaps?
Yeah, it probably is needed. Yeah. I think what people in the development industry will say, and perhaps it has to be tested, I don't know, but they will say that without the international funds, a caveat, they'd get planning permission. They're not necessarily being even built at the moment, but I suppose in fairness, the ones that are financed by funds are, that it wouldn't be possible without them. Now, whether or not that stands up to scrutiny, I don't know.
Now, what about the French? Having a slump in their wine industry because young people apparently are not drinking enough wine, and it's been blamed on older drinkers not educating them, Mairead.
Yes, this is an interesting one. So yeah, back in the day, apparently in the 1960s, French people were guzzling wine by the bottle, but they haven't passed on their tradition to their children. In fact, many French people are actually looking to drink beer over wine and have reduced their consumption massively. Now, they say this is actually going to have an impact on the industry itself. There could be major redundancies in the next 5 years all over this. So maybe wine is falling a little bit out of fashion in France, and it could actually have some serious impacts on people's jobs.
What do you make of that? Young people in France not drinking wine. But is wine maybe something that you come to later in life?
That could be the thing, I suppose. They have their own culture there. I wonder, do young people today appreciate a pint of Guinness the way an older generation would have? I don't know.
That's a pint of Guinness is another grower, because you see, I'm 25 and I would say I'm only getting into wine, rightly or wrongly, but I would say I only enjoy wine in the last few years.
Yeah.
When you're younger, it is more about the spirits and stuff like that. And I'd say,
God, I thought spirits were for the older generation, with spirits like whiskey. Of course, the younger generation go for gin and vodka.
Yeah, so it's funny. It's all to do with trends. I do believe when you get older and maybe you appreciate food a little bit more and you appreciate your wine, it might be less little bit about the social aspect of alcohol and actually just enjoying it for what it is. Maybe then you get into wine when you're a bit older.
In terms of France, you'd wonder about the internationalisation of culture.
Yes.
Have they lost something in that respect? And are the younger people not enthralled to the same things that culturally and nationally.
Of course, they also have to worry in France about the changing climate and how that's impacting their ability to grow wine and champagne. And now their ski slopes as well.
Yeah. And that's another issue this week, actually. In-laws of mine went off to Bulgaria to ski this week and they were getting dispatches before they left that there wasn't no snow there. So, I mean, again, we're back. You mentioned climate change, Matt, and that's there. Another one of these events, it would seem, that we've experienced in the last 2 years, in particular around the world. It keeps happening and, I have to say, we keep doing very little about it.
That's a short-term trend, maybe, though. John Gibbons keeps telling us it's a long-term issue, which we cover every Thursday here in The Last Word. Thank you for joining us today on The Week Trending. Mairead Cleary from our Today FM newsroom and Michael Clifford, a special correspondent with the Irish Examiner.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.